too. We are the Watchers.
Tom, did you realise that this is episode 204?
Oi, good work, us.
We're going very well, we're going very spookily, and we will be back this Friday, which is tomorrow.
Yes.
We'll be doing another lunchtime quiz, sort of a quiz. There'll be questions in there, but there'll be like Halloween themed, like we'll have a lot of like different fun things. It's just going to be a nice lunchtime quiz. So if you're sitting in the office going, what am I going to do for lunch?
Get spooked.
Exactly. If you're still working from home, I know a lot of people who are still working from home, actually.
Especially on a Friday. A lot of people opting to do the Monday, Friday. That's a long weekend.
Yeah.
Why not?
I think it's a great idea. So we'll be doing that and you can take part and get spooky, spooky. Usual time, 12:30 Australian Eastern Standard Time.
Get a dog up you.
If available.
If available.
Of course. I have watched a 80s movie with Robin Williams in it, so I'll talk about that.
Yes.
I sat down and watched a couple of episodes of Fear the Walking Dead, so I've caught up.
All right, I think I'm one behind.
Okay, well, I'll give you a bit of a sneak peek as you can expect and where I am annoyed.
Didn't take long.
Two episodes in, I'm a bit annoyed about something pretty obvious, but you've watched a heap of stuff as well, right?
Yep, I've been watching some spooky gear because they're coming up on that time. Yeah. But as you know, I do plenty of the spooky gear has been sprinkled with humour.
Good, good. That's the one that I can cope with.
Yes, I also balanced it with something saccharine sweet.
Oh, gosh.
Yes, it's certainly pushing some corporate messaging. Stay tuned to find out what that is.
Oh, my God. Okay, I can't wait. Greetings, subscribers and members of the Watchersville latest newsletter. This week's edition is brought to you by toast that stayed in the toaster for 12 seconds too long and is now burnt and set off the smoke detector, which is now beeping and woken up everyone in the house, and they're all angry with you because, unlike you, this is their first day of holidays and they were all enjoying a wonderfully cozy sleep in till you burnt the toast, which set off the smoke alarm and have woken them all up. To top it off, you're late for work and have to eat charcoaled bread for breakfast. The chocolate fountain will reopen again this weekend ahead of the Watchersville Spring Fair. It's been out of action for quite some time after traces of carob were found. This, of course, sparked panic and angry faces because, given the choice, no one wants to be anywhere near that stuff, especially if it's being passed off as delicious chocolate. Middle-of-the-road crowd-pleasing milk chocolate has been churning through the pipes for a couple of days now as testing and quality control ticks of approval were given. While there's still flimsy cordoned-off tape around the fountain in Watchersville Big Park, the council would like to remind folk that it's not officially open to the public yet, so don't go wading in it, please. No one wants foot-infused chocolate. Jamie Jameson has won the grand prize at the National Bubble Blowing for Birds competition. After 12 long years of only getting runner-up, she's finally hit the big time. Several movie houses in Hollywood are now understandably trying to buy the rights to her biopic. A quick reminder that tomorrow night is the last of the Telegraph Pole short film nights at the Arthouse Cinema. So far, 427 different short films about telegraph poles have been screened, which is a world record. Get down there for the final evening for your chance to win your very own, you guessed it, telegraph pole. That's it for now. Stay safe and happy, all residents of Watchersville. Let's kick off with the news.
I'm going to crack open this can of news. There we go. Something that I saw just this morning that made me go, "Ooh, I'm up for that." The Jonas Brothers Family Roast is happening at Netflix. They're producing a comedy special there where, instead of just an individual roast as per usual on your Comedy Central, the family's getting roasted.
So will there also be like the family individually roasting each other? Because, I mean, that's what families usually do, right? They roast each other.
I hope there's a bit of that, but there's plenty of people they're inviting, including Pete Davidson, Kenan Thompson, Niall Horan, who's from One Direction.
I think he was the Irish bloke, right? Blonde hair.
John Legend, Jack Whitehall, and more.
Ooh, there's a nice collection in there.
Yes. It's not, I don't know any of them for roasting. I think Pete Davidson might have done a roast once.
But the ones that I can see would do a great job, Pete
and
Jack.
Yep. I reckon Keenan as well.
Yeah. Yes, definitely.
I wouldn't rely on much from Niall Horan.
Oh, unless he hires someone to write them for him.
Sure. Maybe the other members of DNCE will show up.
Maybe. Let's hope.
They probably got left out in the cold when Joe decided to go back with his brothers, but I don't know. Anyway.
I didn't mind some of their music, though.
I love a bit of Jonas Brothers.
Yeah.
I enjoy early Jonas Brothers when they were part of the Disney machine. Yeah. I remember being in New York when they dropped a new album and it was Beatlemania.
What year would that have been?
I'm going to say 2008.
So that was, oh, that's very young. That's Nick is still a young kid.
Yeah. That was like weird for me to be into them, but like.
It was their music.
Yeah. The music was good. And I was in New York. People were excited. So I went and bought the album.
And did you listen to it a lot during that trip? So what I mean is like every time you listen. Yeah. I like that.
There's like three tracks that I can pull out from there and listen to it. Anytime.
That's awesome. Mm. Fun. All right. So do we know when that's going to be released?
November 24th. Not long to wait now.
Oh, that's
like a month.
Yeah, that's less than a month. Isn't that scary that the end of November is less than a month away?
Mm. What a wasted year.
Really?
Put a big old X through this one. Anyway, what you got?
Well, I'm a little bit excited because next February Horizon Forbidden West is coming out.
Yes.
And the developers shared a few details, mainly on like the tools, the weapons, the climbing mechanics, all that sort of stuff. So Guerrilla Games, of course, are making the Horizon games. I can say that. And they did a PlayStation developers blog, which are pretty good. Like, you've got to keep an eye on them because they tell you quite a fair bit about games. And it looks like they're going to be doing free climbing, which is huge, because back when the first one, Horizon Zero Dawn, came out, it came out around the same time as Breath of the Wild,
yes,
Zelda.
Yes.
And I remember hearing reviews saying, oh, it's not as good as Breath of the Wild, because in Breath of the Wild, Link can literally climb anything.
But so what?
My argument, I was like, so what? Aloy has to climb a particular way. It's basically solving a puzzle.
That's it. I remember, like, I looked at that and I thought Shadow of the Colossus. That
yes.
You climb the thing to bring it down. I don't want to randomly climb stuff helpful.
It's great, unless it's raining, of course, and then you slide off.
I like games where you press a button and it shows you a highlighted yellow path of, like, here's the hint. Give me those. That's good stuff. Yeah.
So there will be more. So the way they put it was she will be able to climb freely across sections of rocky terrain. So there's still going to be parts where you have to try and figure out how to get up places. Like in the first one, they were those enormous, almost giraffe-looking robots that you had to try and climb up, and you got up there and you turned the transmitter on. It basically opened up a section of the map for you so you could see it.
Sure.
I'm really hoping, and it kind of sounds like that is going to be another aspect of it that we can get involved in, because that was fun. That's like the antennas in the Far Cry games. So I love that kind of stuff. It's it's good fun. There's going to be a lot of swimming underwater, which we've seen in the trailers. And they said that that's going to open up a whole extra part of the world that just wasn't available in the first one. They're also going to have a lot more verticality in the world, which I felt like she did a lot of that already. But what they're saying is that there's going to be a whole heap of ruins, because they're in around San Francisco, right? So there's going to be all the buildings and stuff. So
that's cool.
Climb all through that. Because when you think about the first one, it was more like you would kind of find a cave in the side of a mountain. You kind of just go in there. But this sounds like there's a whole heap of different things. There's a new skill tree, unlockable perks. There's also going to be a workbench for your weapons, which I'm never that interested in that. But, you know, like if
new Far Cry's got that. I don't want to customize the weapon. Just give me the good loadout.
Please.
I want to play the game.
Show me the purple one and that's the one I'll get. Yeah, exactly. So that kind of stuff. And they're going to use a lot of the DualSense on the PS5 controller, which I'm really looking forward to. We have to wait till February, but it sounds like no more delays.
That's not long. I've been impressed by how many games have snuck up quickly. I'm very excited today as of recording Guardians of the Galaxy is out. It's only a couple of weeks until Jurassic World Evolution 2 is out.
Oh, that now that snuck up. Yeah.
November 6th. It's really snuck out. But Frontier, the developers, that's what they do. They like to, you know, drop news a few weeks or just a couple of months before something comes
out. That's great. They're confident. They know it's going to be ready. Yep. Bang. What else have you got?
So John Cena is circling a new project called Freelance, and this sounds well up my alley. So it's going to be directed by Jacob Lentz, who was the director of Taken.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't done tons of stuff that you know since then, but essentially it's John Cena would play like a bodyguard.
Mm-hmm.
He's protecting a journalist who goes behind enemy lines to interview a dictator in some country, don't know what one.
Yep.
Right while the interview is happening, a revolution kicks off and the three of them have to try and keep each other alive. The dictator,
that's
the journo.
That's a cool twist. Yes. That's a nice premise.
Action comedy.
Oh, okay. Don't know how that you know what? It could end up being something like those classic 80s action comedies. That kind of vibe might get kicked in there. And I'll be all right with that.
Look, John Cena is proving to play really good at like big burly and able to say the dumbest things with a straight face.
Yeah, right.
So I hope that there's, you know, it's going to be a brilliant journalist. He's a very overeager dimwit. And the dictator's hopefully a scumbag. Don't know who the other two roles are going to be yet, but there's some fun casting potential.
A few slimy bad guys.
Yeah.
Who were perhaps in the dictator's inner circle, right?
Yep.
Surely.
See, until we know what sort of nation they're looking at, it's very difficult to start casting exactly who we want. But like, this sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's a long way off coming out, but Freelance, I'm going to be following that one.
Yeah, if you could, that'd be great.
The only show choosing not to keep up with any of the Kardashians. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Look, one that felt like it took a long time to come out, Dune came out, particularly in the US and Canada over the weekend. I think it made over $40 million, which in this day and age is pretty damn good. It's made over, I think it's like $220 million worldwide at the moment. So it's going really well. I haven't seen it. I'm not even sure if it's out in cinemas here yet.
I
think it's December for us.
Yeah, we don't get it for a while. Everything got pushed back. So like Venom 2 pushed back.
Yeah.
All this stuff.
It's
2020. It is available to watch on HBO Max if you have it. I haven't watched it yet. I don't know if I will.
Well, I remember listening to the audiobook of that first book. I said book a lot then. And it was definitely a novel. See what I did there? That I don't think I would have read, but having it spoken at me in my ears made it a little more palatable. I'm kind of intrigued to watch the film just because of the huge cast.
Sure. It is a very impressive cast lineup.
Yeah. And there's, of course, you know, will they, won't they, will they, won't they about a sequel. But I actually saw an interesting quote from WarnerMedia executive Ann Sarnoff, and she said, if you've seen how the film ends, I think you know the answer to that. There's going to be a sequel.
Of course.
Well, I mean, it's based off a series of books, so it's not going to wrap up at the end of book one.
And even films that are designed to be a one-off, there's always some way to unstitch.
That's true. Sex and the City TV show, Sex and the City first movie, Sex and the City second movie. All the same chances.
All the same.
So, yeah, Dune will, I mean, maybe even by the time this episode comes out, they will have announced it.
Slow news week, hey?
Really, really is.
So here's my last news story. Then we'll move into some trailers, which might pick us up a little. But cool. I don't know. There's been other news stories dominating the news. We don't need to talk about them.
No.
But one that made me go, huh, that's interesting. So, you know, I was obsessed with Bo Burnham's Inside earlier this year. I still listen to it plenty. Turns out that was filmed in the Nightmare on Elm Street house. His partner, whose name I forgot to write down, she owns that house. That most of the action in the original Night of the Elm Street went down in. And so, yeah, what a weird spirit to be imbued into your special.
That's, I'm so glad you've told me that now after I watched that the later series of the movies that made me made us, because they talk about that house and how the front windows look like eyes and everything. And as soon as you said that, I'm like, oh yeah, I know that. So he must have been out in a granny flood or something.
Yeah, so he was in the granny flood, and he didn't like. So he hasn't given a single interview about it. He doesn't want to unpack that. He's like, I put out some art. Normally I put out comedy. This is some art. I'm not going to dissect it.
Fair enough.
So that detail didn't come out for quite some time, but I think that's pretty damn cool.
That's freaking awesome. And how long did it take people to figure that out?
I'm not like, it's been out for a while. I'm sure that this has been floating around and just only bubbled up to my senses recently. But still.
I hadn't heard it. That's amazing. Speaking of amazing, it has been almost 10 years since the Desperate Housewives TV show finished.
Oh, that is amazing.
If you could just...
You know I worked on that, right? On the website.
For the website.
Yeah, I had to write recaps of that show.
Oh, so you had to watch it all? Wait, did you watch all of it?
Only the first season, and then the first season ended, and I was like, yo, no one gives a shit about recaps of...
Yeah,
Desperate Housewives in early 2005.
There are certain shows that you don't need a recap for. And there are others that are either unpacking and finding like the secrets and whatnot. And then there are others that you can just take the piss out of.
The amount of times that I wrote the phrase and Brenda Strong narrated unhelpfully.
Well, Eva Longoria is bang up for getting a reunion happening.
Sure.
Even though, like, I mean...
Is that with or without Mark? Because didn't...
You know how you said you only recap the first season? Yeah. I only watched the first season. So anything after that, yeah. I don't know. But apparently in the season finale, they jumped into the future to show where all the characters were. But Eva reckons that her character she'd like to revisit now. So if there's anybody... in the executive producing world who is interested in making that Desperate Housewives reunion, just give her a call first, I assume.
She's up for it. Felicity Hoffman, is she busy these days?
I don't think so.
She's out.
Who else? Yeah. Oh, yeah. She's been out for a while. Who else? Marsha Cross, Terry Hatcher. I know Terry Hatcher.
Yes.
But though,
those are your core four.
They were the four. And then you had like the husbands and... the narrator, whose name you said and I've already forgotten.
Brenda Strong was the actress. That's character's right. Name, don't remember.
Yeah, yeah. Look, I'm sure that there would be people who would mind maybe like a Friends-style reunion.
There's someone out there that wants to know what Carlos is up to these days.
Was Carlos Eva's husband?
Yeah.
He had a goatee, I remember
Yeah,
that.
They had a fiery relationship, I tell you what.
Whoa, gosh.
They went through some tribulations and trials.
I wonder if they even got divorced at some point and got back together again. That sounds like something that would happen.
Oh, you should write for this show.
All right, let's get into the trailers.
All right, so two trailers. Bam, one I know you probably would have watched was for the trailer for Uncharted.
Oh, yes. I watched that.
Yeah, you should talk about it because I've never played the Uncharted games. I'm sure I would enjoy them, but I didn't really have – I was on Team Xbox back when Fair Uncharted enough. Was a thing. I was working on Xbox.
Well, if you have a PlayStation 5,
yes,
you have access to the PlayStation
Bought the 3-pack.
Oh, okay.
I have it there ready to go. Yeah. I just haven't
– So in the trailer,
yes,
they reference the brother. Nate's brother.
And I remember that being a thing.
Yeah, in Uncharted 4. And Uncharted 4 actually unpacked the relationship between those two because I don't even remember in the other ones the brother being mentioned at all. Now, I don't want to shock you. It's a good thing you're sitting down. But in Uncharted 4, the voice actors for Nate and his brother were, of course, Nolan North and Troy Baker.
Wow. Yes.
Weird, right? Really weird. So there's his brother was also an adventurer who would go into tombs and try and find artifacts and that kind of thing. But he ended up in a bit of trouble. So I'm wondering if maybe they're going to try and save him. I don't know because Nate's younger in this. It's like a prequel. Maybe I'm interested to see. But I just still can't see Mark Wahlberg as Sully.
Because Sully's meant to be much older, isn't he?
Much older, and has one of those voices, you know, like the deep voice of a man that knows stuff, a man that is educated. Not a,
you're going to fucking fly out the back of this plane.
This bloke's like an archaeologist.
Right, not Mark Wahlberg.
No,
it's
so...
It's the plants. Like, he's not viable. Like you don't buy into him as a super smart guy, smart and enough guy. But
I've seen a lot of people sort of going, oh, Tom Holland's not handsome enough, because you remember
he's cute.
Yeah, he's not that handsome that Nate is, but
because Nathan Fillion wanted to play him for so long,
and he looked exactly like him,
and he did a fan film of it and stuff. Yes. And Nathan Fillion has a worn face. His leather beaten life is. It's not being mean, but, like, you know, wife's had a bit of a go at him.
But he's still handsome.
He's very handsome. Mm. And he looks lived in.
Yes.
Rather than an actor.
Beautiful. Yeah, that's a good way of saying it.
That's why everyone wanted him to play him. And he's got charisma for days.
Oh, absolutely. So
Could he secretly be cameoing as the brother? Would that blow everyone's mind if that was –
I've got time for that.
Yeah.
I've got a lot of time for that. There will, of course, be people who will be angry about that, because everybody's angry about everything. Hmm. But in the fourth game, the brother looked a lot like Luke Perry.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's a bit difficult now.
And they can't do that now. But I think Nathan Fillion will be.
Did I just solve the problem?
I
Come on, get on the blower, let them know. So that was one of the trailers I saw. The other trailer was for a Netflix film that's coming soon that I've been seeing bits and pieces for more than a year, because I somehow follow two of the leads on Facebook and they promo it all the time because that's their style. It's called Red Notice, coming to Netflix.
Oh, I don't think I've heard about this one.
It's Ryan Reynolds is the world's second best art thief.
Right.
He gets caught and arrested by Dwayne Johnson, a CIA or FBI or something, and to commute his sentence time to something smaller, he has to help arrest the number one art thief, Gal Gadot.
Oh, this sounds good.
And it looks very sexy and, you know, Ocean's 11-y type vibe,
yeah.
Very classy suits all the time, Ryan Reynolds, you know, quipping and the rock running through walls.
And Gal Gadot, I don't know, I can imagine her doing some sort of wall climbing where you're like, how did she do that
yes.
so quickly?
And she's being very she's sultry stabbed. And she yes. looks like she can't be trusted.
No.
She tricks them a few times in the one trailer.
So when's that coming out?
I think before Christmas. I think it's a Netflix, it's Christmas the most present. It's the most Netflix has ever spent on a single production, like on a film.
Well, I mean, the three massive names right there. So,
and this is a proper Netflix production. So it's not just one that they've bought from off the shelf or something like that. This is they were involved, and you're going to see a little lot. I promise you that.
I am very excited to see that, and I'm very happy that it's coming out around Christmas time, because I feel like that's the kind of film that you can sit down and enjoy with, like, the family, you know, like if your cousins come over or you've got, like, your aunt and uncle visiting or whatnot.
Exactly. I think it's going to be an easy pleaser.
Yeah.
Same way I think Hawkeye is going to film that same role for Disney.
Absolutely.
Fun little series about Christmas.
Oh, by the way, quick side note, did you see that Disney Plus has got a price hike?
I did see that. It's a bit cheeky.
$119 a year now.
Yeah, what was it before, $99?
Yeah.
It's a bit cheeky. But
I mean, they are adding extra stuff.
Yeah, and it's still like, is it a dollar a month more?
Yeah, it makes out. Yeah, it turns out to be that. And if there's a kid watching it on your account, they are getting your money's worth.
I look at that and go, hey, when I signed up and paid $99, Star wasn't a thing.
It wasn't.
And now you've got all this adult content that updates regularly. There's new shows that drop. Yeah, happy with that. That's a reasonable price increase. If Amazon Prime put their price up, I'd tell them get fucked.
Yeah. Because
there's shit all on that. There's one or two shows that come a year. The Boys, they haven't done a second season of Laugh Out Loud.
Mm.
The Moth Effect was good. That's about all I
know. And we're waiting for Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't watched the Top Gear guys stuff in years.
I probably wouldn't.
It's not your vibe.
No, not at all.
But you know what is your vibe?
Yes, what?
Fun fact!
Yes! Okay, I've got my pen and my paper, notepad here, and I'm ready to write down this fun fact so that when I'm having a conversation with someone, I can throw it in as an interesting fun fact.
All right, well, it might be that fun, but it might not be. You might just go, oh, that's it. Scrunch that piece of paper up, put it in the bin. Okay. So, of course, Halloween is coming up. I've been watching lots of spooky stuff, so I found out some good trivia about Scream.
Oh, yes. Okay, great.
All right. So Drew Barrymore and Neve Campbell did not meet Roger Jackson, the actor who voiced or who played the voice.
Hmm.
So he wasn't ever on set as Ghostface.
I mean, that makes sense, but at the same time, their paths crossed, but apparently not.
Whenever they're talking on the phone to the killer, they are actually talking to him. In fact, no one in the cast met him. Wes Craven thought it would be better to bring out the shock reactions he needed from everyone when they heard that voice for the very first time on camera while acting.
Mm.
The producers had originally intended to use his voice only as a placeholder, dubbing it over during post-production with a big name. However, they decided that Jackson's contribution was perfect and they kept it. Wes Craven described it as intelligent and evil voice that became irreplaceable to the franchise. How cool is that?
It must hashtag feels good, man. If you are the placeholder voice, and then they're like, actually, no.
You did such a good job. This is yours.
You're the voice. Try and understand.
Such a key part of those films.
Yeah, it is.
Because the face of Ghostface never moves.
Yeah.
You know, originally Ghostface, the sheet was going to be white to make him look like a ghost. But as soon as they put the costume on, someone was like, he looks like he's in Good Klux Klan. Right. Oh, yeah, good point. All right, yeah. Black.
Yeah, right, okay. Yeah. And that's a great fun fact because also it's like gearing us up ready for the new one.
Not long. But if we're going to get into some watching suggestions,
yeah,
I think it's weird because when everyone listens to this, it won't be anymore. But right now today is National Chucky Day.
Is it really? So should we be, I don't know, giving the thumbs up to Mark Hamill or Jennifer Tilly or
Brad Dourif all the way?
Okay, right.
OG Chucky.
Yep.
Get out of here, Mark Hamill.
Oh, poor Mark.
Yeah, he was fine, but that film was terrible. But are we into watching suggestions?
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
We are officially in watching suggestions.
All right, good. Because, buddy, there's a new series of Chucky.
So where's this series going? Where is it?
I think it's on, might be USA, it might be FXX.
Okay.
I don't think it's CW.
It can be scary but not super super gory.
Correct. Mm. So perfect TV fodder.
Mm-hmm.
The first episode starts slowly. And I was like, and then by the end, I was like, all right, I'm on board with this. Chucky is left out the front of a garage sale and a surly emo teenager picks him up. Turns out this teenager cuts up dolls to make avant-garde art to express the pain inside.
That's beautiful.
And he goes to do stuff with Chucky, and Chucky recognizes a kindred soul and decides instead that he's going to make this kid his bitch.
Yep, I can see this.
Yep.
I can see this. I can see it happening. It's almost like, I was desperately trying to think of the name, but the bloke in Ghostbusters 2 who was transfixed with the painting. I just can't remember.
Peter McNichol.
Thank you. I can't remember the character's name, but that kind of sounds like it.
It's kind of that vibe, and like Chucky is already removing bullies and problems from this kid's life, and maybe the kid's starting to lean into it and enjoy it.
Mm.
But yeah, it's good fun, and there was some like legit laughs in there. Brad Dourif is back voicing Chucky.
Perfect.
And there's a pretty cool through line with the cousin harassing this kid about being gay. And that causing his very conservative father to be angry, drink more and stuff.
Okay.
And there's this awesome bit where Chucky looks at the kid. He's like, kid, I don't care. My kid's queer. And that's like in canon, Chucky and Jennifer Tilly.
Bride of Chucky.
Yes. Their child is transgender.
Right, okay.
And just doesn't identify either way. And it's cool that, which was not a throwaway part, but part of one of the latter Chucky films. Mm-hmm. And this feels, it's not a reboot. It is kind of a continuation, but it's more just like it's another story in the world of Chucky.
Mm.
I think it's slowly going to fold a lot of the previous canon back in. So I feel like we will see Jennifer Tilly at some point. And, you know, they can't leave that on the table. If they're already referencing his kid.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe Chucky will make them go and find her and the kid. Maybe that's a
Which would be very unusual because Chucky is constantly trying to escape from them.
But maybe there's something they've got.
I think maybe there's a bit of maturity to come.
How does it sit as a series?
Look, episode 2 only just dropped. I haven't gotten to watch it yet, but coming out weekly seems real good.
Mm.
And it's one that, you know, it's not like a Halloween or especially Friday the 13th or something where the gore is the important part.
Yeah.
The first few Chuckies were much more serious, but now it is funny. It's like the Evil Dead series, the Ash vs. Evil Dead series that I really enjoyed, where it's very tongue-in-cheek and made for watching late night Friday night after a few drinks and some laughs and eating a bag of Cheezels or something.
Cheezels, not tubes. I didn't.
I didn't mention.
Oh gosh, what's happened? Did you have a win?
Well, on Sunday I was having some quiet time at home, and Lynn's had gone to the supermarket, and she sent me a photo, and it was funny because I said, "Hey, you should send me a sexy photo sometime," and she did. It was a photo of a stack of boxes of tubes.
How many did she get you?
5.
Oh, that's a lot.
Well, and I've had one.
Oh, good work.
Thanks. And I may go to the supermarket myself, get some more, hide them away in a cupboard.
If you have to. These things have to happen.
Yep. I don't know how I got onto tubes talking from Chucky. Fault. That's all right.
But I just needed to know. That's
so happy National Chucky Day.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to celebrate tonight by watching the second episode and enjoying myself.
Yeah, why not? Treat yourself.
Oh, it's not Treat Yourself Day.
Oh, sorry. It's Chucky Day. I get those two mixed up all the time.
Fucking love Treat Yourself Day.
When is it? I don't even know when it is.
It's.
Have I missed it?
No. Treat Yourself Day is when you and or your family are in need.
Hmm.
It's not something you don't set it on a day. It's when you collectively need that day. Like, you know what? Yeah, everyone's flat. You know what day it is? Just treat yourself.
I think that's really good.
Yeah. The pickup.
Surely around this time, people want about 20 of them.
Yeah.
In a row.
Generally, it gets thrown out around June, July in our house. Lockdown happened this year, so it's still been on hold.
But
we did a mini Treat Yourself Day, but I was like, treat yourself to a nice picnic in the park.
Yeah, you still have to pack it.
Treat yourself involves like a foot rub.
Oh, like treat yourself to a massage, hour-long massage. A
head rub.
Treat yourself to going to a restaurant or a cafe or something where you don't have to pack any of the food away at the end.
I went for Yum Cha on Saturday morning with Stew. Shout out to my boy Stew. That was a very special meal. Out of 10, I would give it a firm 6.5 to 7. Not a great Yum Cha. But we were eating fucking Yum Cha.
God, I'm so jealous. I haven't thought about that yet. Oh.
It's not like at first I was like, I just want to go somewhere where I can eat and someone takes the plate away. Yes. And that was good. But then my brain moved to where can I eat stuff that I don't make at home?
And you don't have to wait more than 3 seconds.
We had eaten so much and we're out 25 minutes later.
Brilliant. I love the idea. Great. Yum Cha is a brilliant idea. There's no part of it that is not good. Yes, I will try that thing that I've never seen before.
Yes, get combination. Combination.
More pork buns. I know that the I know it's filling.
No, pork, not prawn.
So many options.
I'm allergic to seafood, so Yum Cha is a minefield.
Oh, gosh. But when it goes well, very brave.
Oh, when it goes well, it goes real well. Mm. And when I get undercooked egg noodles like the other day, it does not go as well.
But I'm sorry about that.
I didn't care. The pork and stuff was great. I picked it out, ate it. Yum, yum, yum. Put it in my belly.
Follow the Watchers on Twitter at the Watchers Pod 1.
I watched Good Morning Vietnam.
And what brought on that?
I'm still going through the what movies are old and do they hold up still?
Yes. And is it a spoiler if we jump ahead and ask?
No,
does it hold up?
I think it does.
You think it does?
Because I don't want to shock you, but in 1988, when it came out, I didn't watch it.
Why? What were you doing instead? Where were you on the evening of the film's release?
I was like, oh, I would love it if you actually just threw a date out there and then we Googled it and it was correct and you'd be like, well, that's... I'm impressing myself. All right,
so it's 1988?
Yes. Let me get my phone.
All right. It's clearly Oscar bait, so it would have been in the second half of the year. It's not a summer blockbuster, so it's going to be... Ooh. Stay away from American school holidays.
Okay. It surprised me. Wait, when do the Oscars... When are the Oscars? February?
February.
It's Oscar bait for sure.
Yeah, so I'm guessing I'm going to go broad and then tighten. I'm going to say late September to early December.
I'd push it.
Even further back.
I'd push it closer to February.
Wow, that Oscar baity. Okay, so I'm guessing it's an early January release after everyone's had their New Year's celebrations and stuff.
Yeah, they're all back into the swing of things, yeah.
All right, so third week of January. Somewhere between, I'm going to say between the 12th and the 23rd.
Oh, you're so good. Yep. Closer to the 12th.
All right, 14th?
It's the 15th.
Ah,
that's total Oscar bait. That's amazing. 1988.
Did you see me trying to work out Thursdays backwards in my head then?
Yeah, I would never have tried. That's too difficult for me. 15th of January, 1988.
There you go.
This film came out. For me, my memory of... Because you know when a movie's so big, but you were not part of it being big, so you kind of just get the tail end of why it was big.
Yes.
And so I thought it was big because it was a Vietnam War film, and around the 80s, that was a thing.
So I don't think I've ever sat through it. I don't mean that isn't it's bad. I just... Same as you, I missed it.
Yeah.
So I always thought it was like Robin Williams doing his, not Schindler's List, but like that serious thing that he got into later. Am I wrong here? Is it more just?
It's a bit of both.
Okay.
He was nominated for an Oscar.
That's what I remember.
But it's still the Robin Williams, the random Robin Williams of it all. And I remember the soundtrack was very famous. And I actually just scrolled through the soundtrack on Spotify just before we started.
Yes.
And every song I was like, oh, yeah, I know this. Oh, yeah, I know this. Like, I may not be able to tell you the name of the song, but I definitely know it. So Louis Armstrong, Wonderful World was re-released because of the film.
Right.
Like all this kind of stuff. So he is an army radio announcer.
Yes.
And he goes over to Vietnam to, be on the radio. So he's got a breakfast show and he's very perky. Probably. And, if I was to have watched it during radio school,
yes,
I would have gone, he's breaking all the rules. You can't do that. It's too much. It's all about word economy. He's going random. There's one thought per talk break, and he's just going, when he would sit down with Michael Parkinson and Michael would go, hello.
Yeah.
And then he'd just sit back and let him do it. Clearly, the director's gone, all of the bits where you're on air, just go for it. Just go for it. You've got Forrest Whitaker behind him just laughing the whole time. And it's so random. So you've got that mixture of Robin Williams doing that random Robin Williams, what would you call it? Like
manic.
Manic stream of
that
thought.
That stuff was why he at one time was my number one least, I would hate to be locked in a lift with him. I'd love to meet him. I'd love to play Warhammer with him.
That's right. He was a big Warhammer fan too.
But being that manic energy would be a lot.
It was a lot. But then on the flip to that, his character, you know, is in a war, and we know what happened to that in that war, and it wasn't fun for anyone. So it was sprinkled in with the seriousness of the war and seriousness of and the ridiculousness of him being on air, and also that character being on an army radio station. They didn't want him to do that. They wanted him to tell people the news and play some songs that would be appropriate. So he was always, you know, playing the rock songs that he wasn't supposed to, and just being super random and saying things he shouldn't say. And Robin.
Incorrigible.
So incorrigible. I thought it was good. He looks very young in it. And I was looking up a few little trivial facts. It was filmed in Thailand, not Vietnam.
Huh.
I don't know why. And he... Got the Oscar nomination, because he didn't win an Oscar till Good Will Hunting, right?
That sounds right.
I think that was his win. Yeah, so if maybe what, 10?
That was 97.
Oh, okay. So long time between. Yeah. So Good Morning Vietnam. I think it, unlike some older movies where you go, yikes. There isn't. I didn't feel any of those. So what have you been watching?
Well, look, I mentioned earlier something saccharine, and I'm going to bundle two things together.
Brilliant.
Because they're both sweet. One of them a bit sickly, the other one sweet, as in awesome. New content from Disney Plus. One was a show called The Most Magical Story on Earth, 50 Years of Walt Disney World, which I'm a sucker for that sort of crap, and I feel quite confident when I say this show is going to play on a loop in hotels at Walt Disney World for the next 2 to 3
okay.
years.
Okay, oh, you've already seen it.
That's
damn.
What I meant. It's hosted by Whoopi Goldberg, and Christina Aguilera sings a song in front of the castle at night, and a few other people perform and stuff, but whatever. There's some cool history stuff and some very cool behind-the-scenes footage that's not been seen. A lot of stuff of the tunnels, because everything at Walt Disney World is actually on the second story, and you know, they built up from wetlands, so there's this whole network of tunnels underneath it. Show off a lot of that. But the reason I really watched was at the very end, they showed some footage of new rides coming, including the Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Breakout or whatever it's called, which is going to be the world's largest indoor roller coaster.
What's that replacing? I've forgotten. I thought you said it was replacing something. No?
I believe it's in the same footprint where Ellen DeGeneres and Bill Nye the Science Guy's exploration into energy or something used
to
be. That
is a really different thing.
Oh, it's a very different thing. So there's they showed off that roller coaster. They showed off the Ratatouille ride that is coming, which I've been on, the one in Paris, and is phenomenal. You get shrunk down and you run around under the kitchen with Remy.
That's nice.
It's really, really good. So they showed us some stuff that was cool. Anyway, so what I'm saying is I watched an hour and a half special for about 45 seconds of footage that was great and a few tidbits that I knew, but it was cool to see of a different angle, that sort of stuff.
Mm.
On the flip.
Yeah.
Of awesomeness.
Yeah.
I mentioned it to you a while ago that a Muppets Haunted Mansion special was coming, starring Gonzo the Great and Pepe the King Prawn. Gonzo gets invited because he's not afraid of anything. You know, he's fearless.
Oh, superhero.
He gets invited to spend a night in the Haunted Mansion overnight. No one's been able to do it, but it's the 100th anniversary since a famous magician had gone missing at the Haunted Mansion.
It seems like the most appropriate time to go and spend the night.
Yep. And there's great cameos throughout. Alfonso is in there. Danny Trejo. If you enjoy The Muppets, it's great. If you enjoy The Haunted Mansion, it's great. If you like both of those things, it is amazing, because I think they got to film in there while it was shut, like while Disneyland was shut or something. It feels like they've actually used a lot of the sets from in there.
That would be making the most of a lockdown.
Yeah. And the Muppets are, like, most of them are playing the spirits. So you know, this deep cut reference in Fozzie is playing the hat box ghost who was there on opening day and then broke and was taken out 8 days later and didn't appear again for 42 years or something like that.
I remember that in that show.
In the Behind the Attractions.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So there's a lot of deep cut stuff in there. But then also like Darren Criss, he plays
okay.
He plays the guy outside who on the ride he's holding a lantern and like knocking his knees, don't go in there. He's the caretaker or crypt keeper or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So he, you know, sings a big song intro. Dr. Teeth and the Electric Feel Good, the band play, they do the original 70s version of Dancing in the Moonlight.
Oh, yeah, right.
It's great.
Is this one that you watched with Shay?
No, I watched it myself at night. She's a scaredy cat, and there are some moments on her there that might rattle her a little
bit. Too
scary. There's a whole bit where Gonzo's like, I'm not afraid of anything, and Will Arnett's like, oh, then you'll enter room 999 where no one's ever left. And he has to face his own fears, and it gets a bit psychedelic, and I don't think she'd like that part.
Okay.
But I think when I first announced it, I know we talked about it, I think I mentioned there that they were hoping to recreate the feel of the old Christmas Carol or like Treasure Island, the 90s Muppet movies. So not the Henson originals, but like that one where it's real slapsticky and lots of cameos and flying references and, you know, talking about budgets and being real meta. That's exactly what this is. So at one point, what someone says to them, why are there so few Muppets here? And Pepe, without missing a beat, just turns and goes, oh, yeah, budget. And then moves on with the rest of the show.
That's awesome.
That's so good.
We have to watch this before Halloween, right?
Yeah.
It's not going to have the same impact if we wait.
Oh, I'm sure it'll be fine in the same way that you can watch Muppets Christmas Carol away from Christmas and enjoy Michael Caine.
True, but I think I'm going to try and watch it on Saturday night. Halloween's the Sunday, right?
I think so, yes.
Saturday night, perfect time to do.
Yeah, treat yourself to Muppets Haunted Mansion. It comes with a high recommendation for me. If you think you're predisposed to it, I promise you it's worth your time.
Okay. Speaking of worth your time, I sat down. I was like, I should watch Fear the Walking Dead. I should just get into it a little bit because I honestly couldn't remember if I'd watched the mid-season finale of The Walking Dead. I have no recollection. I think I did. I don't know.
I do. I did, and I remember what happened.
It's at this moment that I said to Tom, can you please explain to me what happened in the season finale of The Walking Dead? And he did, and I remembered once he explained it to me. But I thought I'd take it out because it is a bit of a spoiler in case you haven't seen it and want to. You're so welcome. I know I am very kind and understanding. So Fear the Walking Dead finished off last season with a bang, like it was a nuclear explosion. So it was like an apocalypse on top of an apocalypse. What are they going to do? Is there even any use of this show going on if they're doing two apocalypses? And the answer is maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
I think the premise is really cool, right? Those stakes are super high. And for the people that are left, suddenly their worlds become even smaller, so small that they're now having to wear face masks, like proper gas masks, to survive now. Food is scarce because where is the food that is not radioactive?
Yeah.
This kind of thing. And I think that's a brilliant premise. I've watched two episodes now. I know you've only watched one, so I won't talk about the second one too much. But I think the last 18 months or however long we've been COVIDing for, I think that has made me not want to watch something where there's so little hope.
I'm really agreeing with you. I purged myself out of a lot of negative stuff last year of shows that I watched and things. And now I'm at the point where I don't enjoy that. It used to be a fun what if.
Yeah, exactly.
How would I handle that situation? Now we fucking know. Not well.
Yeah.
Toilet paper shortage, everyone goes mad. I don't want to dream about what's coming.
Yeah, that 100%. So I think if we did not have this pandemic, I think people I mean, just judging on the two episodes, I think people would actually like this season.
Yeah, that I quite enjoyed that first episode with Victor Strand. He's a dick, and it was good to be reminded that he's a dick.
He's gone full heel, as you would say in wrestling,
yes,
right?
Yes, he's had a massive heel turn. It's great.
Yeah. So I will watch the rest of this season just because there has to be a moment or two of hope where something happens that we're like, oh, I'm invested in this now because I can see a potential out.
Yeah, the magic school bus shows up and they get away or something. You're right, there has to be something.
Yeah, otherwise they're just going to whittle down to there's no one because it's all radioactive.
Maybe Eugene's going to roll up on a massive steam train with some really big fans and he's going to blow all that nuclear air away.
I wouldn't put it past him. He's that good. Tom, a little earlier on I was talking about Desperate Housewives and when it finished, right?
Yes.
And I thought, oh, that might be a fun thing to do in a quiz. Not Desperate Housewives. Guess what year these shows ended.
Ended. Woo. Okay. All right.
When they ended. Obviously, you don't have to do Good Morning Vietnam release date thing. It's just the year. I'm only after the year. And I've mixed it up a fair bit, right?
Okay.
Inspector Gadget. See, this is a hard one because it was a kid's show, right? So that would have been repeated 4 million times.
And we're looking for when it ended.
Ended.
I'm going to say 1992. Am I way off? Is it more like 87?
Oh, you're so close. 86.
I was going to say 87 originally. And then I thought, nah, that's got to be when it started or something because I watched a lot of it as a kid. Yeah. But then, as you say, reruns.
Reruns. 83 to 86. There's only three seasons. Yeah. And we must have watched them over and over and over again.
Several times.
But so it's so funny because my memory is I don't recall. Because, you know, like you think back to The Simpsons early seasons or, I don't know, even Play School. Like you go, I remember watching this one.
Yeah.
Or, you know, scenes from skits from Sesame Street. I've seen this one many times before, but.
I can do a really good Dr. Claw, but I'm not going to do it because
it's going to hurt your voice. Yeah.
Maybe for the end of show, but it'll
Cool.
Blows it out.
Because that's what I said. Okay, fair enough. What about the show 6 Feet Under?
Oh, love that show. That ending really sticks with you.
Mm.
All right. I'm going to say, oh, I was about to say something and then no.
You're trying to place yourself, right?
Because I was about to say something and then I remembered Dexter. And that helps me cement a bit of time.
Yes. Yep.
And I think I watched all of it, including the finale.
Yep.
Somewhere around 2006, 2005.
Last episode of 6 Feet Under was in 2005. So it makes sense that you would have watched it all in 2006.
Yep.
Yeah.
I had to place myself back there. Where was I? It was good.
What was I
good.
Doing? Yeah, 2001 to 2005.
That's about the dreariest, most serious show I've ever watched. That and The Wire.
I
didn't get through all of Oz.
I didn't get through all of The Wire. It was good. I just.
They had a season about journalists. I was there. Because I was in the thick of it then. I was like, these are my people.
These are my folk. What about Homeland with Claire Danes?
Is that still going?
It was till very recently.
All right, I'm going to say 2020.
Yeah, 2020 was the last season. 10 seasons.
That's a lot.
Well, actually, I don't know how many. It started in 2011.
Because there were some years off, I think.
Yeah, yeah. I watched the first maybe three seasons of that. It was very good. The first season's very good because it's got one of those.
It's a big twist, isn't it?
There's a big twist.
A rug pull.
They're constantly telling you it's either this or this. It's either this or this. It's either this or this. And you go, oh, gosh, it could be the bad thing or it could be the good thing. It looks like the bad thing. Actually, maybe it's the good thing. And they mess with you the whole season and then they tell you which one it is at the end and you're like, oh. And then they say, but also. And you go, whoa.
Whoa.
Yeah.
How Joey Lawrence.
Whoa. What about Santa Clarita Diet with the wonderful Drew Barrymore? Is there anybody in the world that doesn't like Drew Barrymore? I don't think so.
Is there anybody in the world who likes Drew Barry less?
Crowd enjoyed that.
Timothy Oliphant. What a guy.
Yeah.
He's in that, isn't he?
I think he's the husband, right?
Santa Clarita Diet. I'm going to say it wrapped in 2018.
Oh.
19?
19.
Yeah.
2017 to 2019. Yeah. I mean, it was on Netflix, so
rest
that's a good
run. Rest in pieces in the freezer. Yeah,
exactly. The show was weird, but there was something, it was charming and icky all at once.
Hmm.
Yeah. I had to put this one in because it was a show that felt like it went forever. MASH.
I'm going to say like.
Get it right. Get it right.
83.
It went from 1972 to 83.
That's I was having a part. I was honestly going to say 1993 because.
Well, the joke was that it went longer than the actual Korean War. It was on for a very long time. Final one right now. This is, we're bringing it back. It's in Australia. We're sitting down in front of the ABC. We're watching Round the Twist. When did that show finish? This is a hard one. This is another one like Inspector Gadget where it either repeated a lot or you bowed out before it actually finished because you grew out of it.
So I believe there were 1, 2, 3, 4 original seasons.
Mm, that sits about right.
These are is Paul Jennings, not Morris Gleitzman, correct?
Paul Jennings.
Yeah. Bronson, you little fucker. I'm going to say it wrapped in 1996.
You're close. It's way later than that. It's 2001.
Oh.
Weird, right?
There must have been a lot more seasons that I'm not aware of or something.
Let's also remember that the ABC Kids television programming was – and probably still is top notch.
And it is top notch. Wasn't there a bunch of kids that played Bronson? Maybe.
I mean, 2001. I've bowed out, so I don't. I was very close to doing Cheese TV for that one. I don't know the answer. In fact, I'll look it up. Let's just do a bonus one. When did Cheese TV finish? I feel like it finished way later than.
It's going to be way later.
What about?
I'm going to say 2003.
All right,
I feel like I'm undervaluing it there anyway.
All right, let me clock it up to 2006 then. Cheese TV. It went from 1995 to 2005 for Cheese TV.
I'm part of the Cheese TV Facebook group. The guys post regular updates on there. Check out the GameCube in my cupboard. Here are all my pogs.
Do they do a podcast? They should do a podcast.
They probably do. They hang out together a lot. Everyone appreciates them together.
Those kids were very good.
And they would just give him free rein. You go, here's your breakfast television. What are you going to do?
Whatever we want.
That was brilliant. I enjoyed all of that. Tom, let's be spooky on Friday. What do you reckon?
Ooh.
Oh, that was good. You're warming up your vocal voice, and I'm going to go, and your little dog too, that kind of voice. That's going to be mine.
I'll probably be delivering my best Vincent Price.
That's very good.
Everything about Halloween needs to be delivered in such a manner as to be precisely spooky.
It's like spooky and creepy.
Yes, it's inviting, but also a little bit frightening.
Unnecessary pauses are your friend when it comes to Halloween. Yeah. Everything goes up.
Yeah, yeah, go up because
very conducive to Australians.
Am I telling you the truth? Yes,
that's right. Are you spooked or will you be waking your own way out?
12:30 Australian Eastern Standard Time. Stop and have your lunch break then and join us for all of the Halloween fun. Tom, are you going to do it? The voice is it? Let's see. Tom, on that note, thank you very much.
I'll get you next time, Gadget. Next.